यदा यदा हि धर्मशः ग्लानिर्भवति भारत अद्युतानं अधर्मशः तदात्मानं सृजाम्यहम् परित्राणाय साधना विनाशाय च दुष्कृता धर्म संस्थापना हरेर्नाम हरेर्नामैव केवलम् कलौ नास्त्येव 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 गतिरन्यथा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे
Hare Krishna, dear devotees, and welcome to our weekly Krishna Consciousness program. And once again, I would like to invite all the devotees, all of you, to the Hare Krishna Temple, which is at 1229 Coatesville Riverhead Highway, also known as Highway 28. There, every Sundays we hold a special public programs starting at 11:30 with bhajans and kirtans, followed by aarti of their lordships at 12:30. And then we have a discourse on Krishna consciousness philosophy from 1 to 2, followed by aarti of our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And then we finish the day's program at 2:30 with Vegetarian Feast. Please come along, join us, and find out for yourself what is Krishna consciousness all about and how you can practice that in your own homes. But today we have a very special program. Please remember that on the 19th, that is on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, is Gita Jayanti, the advent of Gita, the day Lord Krishna spoke Gita to Arjuna. And we will be celebrating that. Normally devotees celebrate it by reciting the Bhagavad Gita on that particular day. At least we recite on Gita Jayanti. And today we're going to recite the Bhagavad Gita at our temple starting at 10 o'clock. Those people who would like to participate, please come along. We'll start at 10 and go on until 12:30, the break for the aarti, and then for another half an hour from 1 to 1:30, and then we're going to have a quiz for kids as well as elders. And as usual, we'll finish the day's program at 2:30 with Vegetarian Feast. Please come along and join us in the recital of Bhagavad Gita. Also, at least on Wednesday, recite some slokas. If you cannot recite the whole Bhagavad Gita, reciting whole Gita could take about 4 hours. And if you cannot spare that much time, I know people are working, so recite at least some slokas. It is said that we should make a habit of reciting at least one sloka every day. So please make a habit of it. Recite as many slokas as you can on the 19th, that is this Wednesday, and make a habit of reciting at least one Gita slok every day. I'll continue with Mukunda Mala Srotra, the prayers of King Kulshekar, and we are on text 40. Satyam bravim manuja sat swayam bhurva bhavo yurmayo mukunda narasimha janardhaneti jivo japataya nudinam marane raneva papan kaste adradrishya shaya dadateya bhishtam. O mind, mankind, with arms raised high, I declare the truth. Any mortal who chants the name of Mukunda, Narasimha, Janardhan, day after day, even in battle or when facing death, will come to regard his most cherished ambitions as no more valuable than a stone or a block of wood. Even those who sincerely endeavor for self-improvement know that it is very hard to quell cherished ambitions. Sometimes these ambitions are so grandiose that we keep them secret, yet we cherish them within. An obscure, untalented man thinks he may one day become the dictator of the world. An unpublished poet dreams he will become the next Shakespeare, and so on. The materialists are always being encouraged to fend the fires of their ambition. Even children are encouraged by their parents to get ahead. But pure devotees of the Lord are well aware that all worldly ambitions are useless. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to instruct us, criticizes his own mind and asks, why are you after fame? Don't you know it is as worthless as the dung of a boar? Srila Raghunath Das Thakur Goswami uses an equally graphic metaphor to criticize his mind in his Manasiksha, comprising of desire for fame to a filthy dogita dancing in his heart. Devotees then must always be vigilant that the whole desire for fame, name, and high position, technically called paristhas, does not arise within the heart, since it blocks pure love for Krishna from entering there. In contrast to a devotee, an impersonal finds it impossible to cleanse his heart completely of materialistic ambition. Even after he subdues some of the grosser ambitions, he still maintains the impossible wish to become God. Srila Prabhupada called this desire to become one in all respect with the Absolute Truth the last snare of Maya. And the demigods, in their prayers to Krishna while he was still in the womb of Devaki, have given the last word on the impersonalist so-called liberation of merging with the Absolute Truth. Ye anye avindakshyami vimuktamaninas tvahe astabhavad avishuddha bhavaddaya druya krena krichcharena param padam tataha patante adha nastrada yasmad angaraya. O lotus eyed Lord, although non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated, their intelligence is impure. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for your lotus feet. This is from Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, Text 32. King Kulshekhar advises us how to rid ourselves of all material ambitions. He should chant the holy names of God, Mukunda, Narasimha, and Janardhan. These are all names of Krishna as much as such they are contained within the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Chanting the names of Krishna awakens one's love for him, and then all one's material ambitions vanish. The chanting of the Maha Mantra is same as chanting all the other names of the Lord. So instead of chanting, picking up all the names of the Lord, which is rather impossible, we just simply chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, used to say that just as when someone gets $1,000,000, all his $10 and $100 problems are automatically solved. So when we actually love, when we attain pure love of Krishna, all our petty material needs and desires pale to insignificance. Chanting the name of Lord is pure ecstatic love, puts the devotee in direct touch with the wonderful forms, qualities and pastimes of the Lord. In that state, the devotee is fully satisfied and loses all traces of egoistic ambition. He becomes happy simply to worship, serve and be with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The history of Dhruva Maharaj illustrates the purifying power of Krishna consciousness. Dhruva sought out the Supreme Lord as a way to obtain material kingdom. But after he had performed severe austerities and came face to face with Lord Vishnu, he declared sumam kirtartho asmi varam nayache. My dear Lord, I am fully satisfied. I do not ask from you any benediction for material sense gratification. This is from Hari Bhakti Vilas. Sorry, Hari Bhakti Sudhoyat. Love of God is dormant within everyone. And to realize that love is to fulfill the purest ambition, the Vaishnava Acharyas never advise us to try to kill our ambitious spirit. Rather, they instruct us to desire only to awaken our taste for pure devotional service. Next text, 41. Narayanayanam ityam umeva mantram sansare ghore visanirharanaya nityam shrunvantu bhavyam tayo yatayo anuragad uchaistanam upadishamya aham Urdhava Bhava Bahu. Raising my arms, I utter this compassionate advice as loudly as I can. If those in the renounced order want to be delivered from the terrible poisonous conditions of material life, they should have the good sense to constantly hear the mantra, Om Namo Narayanaya. King Kulshekhara addresses this verse to those who are renounced and also intelligent, who qualify. Two qualities essential for becoming fully Krishna consciousness, and they are renounced and intelligent. As for renunciation, it is the basis of advancements on the path of yoga. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text 2, Lord Krishna says, what is called renunciation is the same as yoga, or linking oneself with the Supreme Lord. For no one can become a yogi unless he renounces the desire for sense gratification. In Kulshekhar's verse, the word yataha, translated as members of the renounced order, refers not only to those who have formally accepted the sannyas of mendicant order, but to all those who have embraced the true spirit of renunciation. Krishna defines sannyas as follows: one who is unattracted, unattached to the fruits of his work, and who works as he is obliged, is in a renounced order of life, and he is the true mystic. Not he who lights no fire and performs no work. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text 1. In other words, anyone who works solely for the pleasure of Krishna, without a tinge of self-interest, has attained true renunciation. Intelligence is also required to perform devotional service, especially to take up the chanting of the holy names. As Karbhajana Muni says to King Nimi in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, chapter 5, text 32, Krishna Varam Tavikshams Sangha Pangayo Parshad Yashnur Sankirtanam Prayer Yajnehi Sumedasha. In the age of Kali Yuga, intelligent persons perform congregation chanting of the holy names of the Lord to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Intelligence is not gauged by IQ examination, but by the ability to distinguish the permanent from the temporary. The true form of the false, the good from the bad, and to act on that understanding. One can acquire such genuine intelligence only by hearing from a bona fide spiritual master and the authorized Vaishnava scriptures. Then one will have the good sense to sacrifice immediately temporary sense pleasures in the interest of attaining the permanent good, pure love of God, and the liberation from birth and death. In the previous two verses, King Kulshekhar has expressed himself empathetically, raising his arms and chanting as loudly as he can. He has learned the most precious secret of existence and does not wish to hide it. That which is of such inestimable value, the mantra composed of the names of God, should not be kept secret. People should not be denied access to it, even if they become unqualified. Once the Acharya Ramanuja was given a secret mantra by his guru, who told him that revealing it would be detrimental to his spiritual advancement. But Ramanuj loudly chanted the potent mantra and taught it to the people in general. When his guru asked him why he had done this, Ramanuj said that if the mantra was beneficial, then he wished to give it to everyone, even at the risk of going to hell. This mood is reflected in Lord Chaitanya and his Sankirtan movement, not considering who asked for it and who did not, and who is fit and who is unfit to receive it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed the fruit of devotional service. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 9, text 29 to 36. Especially in this present age, most people do not have sufficient good fortune or sufficient good karma to attain renunciation or higher intelligence. And yet every living entity, being a pure spirit soul, originally has all good qualities. The acharyas and preachers help conditioned souls bring out their dormant good qualities by inducing them to chant the holy name. Again and again, King Kulshekar recommends Harinam in the form of both congregational chanting, that is Sankirtana, and individual meditative chanting, this Japa. There are no hard and fast rules for chanting the holy names of the Lord. But what is a hard and fast rule, especially in this age, is that everyone must take part in calling on God by his innumerable names. Text 42. Chintam naiva nirvartate chanamapi Shri Krishna padam bhujan nindantu priya bandhava guru jana grihevantu muchantuva durvadam paridudhu ghoshayantu manuja vanse kalakostuva tarikam ema dharya nuraga manduna Mataye manam tumeva. My mind cannot turn from Sri Krishna's lotus feet, even for a moment. So let my dear ones and other relatives criticize me. My superiors accept or reject me as they like. The common people spread evil gossips about me, and my family reputation be snail. For a madman like me, it is una enough to feel this flood of love of Godhead, which brings such sweet emotions of attraction for my Lord. King Kulshekar again expresses his lack of concern about suffering ill repute due to his intense devotion to Lord Krishna. If devotional service resulted in such criticism hundreds of years ago in India, then how much more calumny must devotees undergo in modern conditions that have no heritage of worshipping at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna? Therefore, King Kulshekar gives us a realistic warning and assurance not to be afraid of criticism. When Lord Krishna enjoyed his pastimes in Vrindavan 5,000 years ago, the gopis, his dearmost devotees, also risked their reputations to save him. In the middle of the full moon night of the autumn season, he called the gopis by playing his transcendental flute, and they all rushed out to meet him, disregarding the commands of their hundreds of their husbands, brothers, and other relatives, ignoring such duties as suckling their children and cooking. They broke all the bonds of Vedic propriety and went to meet their lover, Krishna. The Lord very much appreciated this daring sacrifice by the gopis, as stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The gopis have forsaken everything, including their own relatives and their punishment and scolding. And for the sake of saving Lord Krishna, they render loving service to him for the sake of his enjoyment. A devotee knows that he is pleasing Lord Krishna when he pleases the representatives of Krishna, and also when he feels spiritual satisfaction. At that time, he doesn't care about any volume of worldly criticism. When a surrendered devotee faces slights in and of criticism, this simply help crush any lingering desire he may have to enjoy the company of family and friends. In this way, Krishna saves the worldly ties. Krishna severs the worldly ties of his devotees and brings him entirely under his control and within his shelter. King Kulshekar tells us why he can endure criticism without much pain. He's feeling an abundance of love of Godhead, accompanied by varieties of ecstatic emotions, and he considers this to be so wonderful and honorable that he can easily tolerate in the petty insults of non-devotees. This kind of indifference is the effect of advancement in chanting the holy names, as explained in the following verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Text 40, which Lord Chaitanya says embodies the essence of Bhagavatam's teaching. Evam vrata sva priyen nam hirtaye jatanu raga durala chita uchahe hastahe ato radhiti rahoti gayati unmadavam nirtayati lokabhaya. By chanting the holy names of the Supreme Lord, one comes to the stage of love of Godhead. Then the devotee is fixed in his vow as an eternal servant of the Lord, and he gradually becomes very much attached to the particular name and form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As his heart melts with ecstatic love, he laughs very loudly, or cries, or shouts. Sometimes he sings and dances like a madman, for he is indifferent to the public opinion. So we'll stop here for this week. So please remember, today we are celebrating Gita Jayanti in the temple from 10 in the morning with reciting Srimad Bhagavad Gita. We'll try and recite the whole book, 800 verses. So please come along and join us and recite Srimad Bhagavad Gita and enjoy and obtain the blessings of Sri Sri Radha Giridhari. Hare Krishna.
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Rama, Rama.